am so happy to be here. It's been a while since I've been here, and glad to be back. I have several friends who are here this morning because they know I am here and they want to check on me to know that I still stay in line. You know, I need a lot of people to keep me in line. You know that? My friend Roberto and his wife Donna are here, and they sit over here. My friend Jennifer Birch is there, and it's kind of son in the faith. Pierrot's son is here. Would you please stand up, Pierrot's son? Yes. Pierrot's son is the Living Water boy, and Brother Ken, both Wright and Patty, basically they raise him up. They have paid his schooling, I think, from second grade to college. Yes. And now they brought him here on the parole program for 2 years. And so he will be able to spend some great time and get to know better the U.S. culture and who know what. And I think he has some good snow waiting for him. He will enjoy that. Thank you, brother. Maybe sitting. Thank you so much for all the years of support to Living Water Christian Mission. Some of you don't know, but I will let you know this morning that the name Living Water Christian Mission was actually born here in the basement of this church. Did you know that? Yep. It was back in 2001, and I was here with my American parents, Fred and Jane Green, and we had a short meeting here, and we were discussing the name that we need to give to the ministry. And since we're talking a lot about drinking water, I said, why not call it Living Water Christian Ministries? And guess what? Living Water Christian Ministries. And that's exactly here at Miami Town Church of Christ. And thank you for sending teams. Now, you have not been able to send teams in the last few years, and the whole problem is the country. Haiti has been going through a very tough time. Politically, the instability is so bad, I cannot travel 10 miles south of my city safely. And consequently, I have not. And in town, I choose how to move because it's dangerous. And it's a very difficult situation because when you don't see the end, it's more painful. So thank you for your prayers. They are the prayers keep us alive. I have tons of stories that I could tell you, but 1 hour will be too short to tell you those stories, so I will pass you a few of them. You've done a lot. You help us to build churches, put roofs on churches, tiles, teach some of our men how to lay tiles, and those people continue to lay tiles even after, so many years, 15 years. And electrical wiring, you've done a lot of that. Child sponsoring, and again, I have the example of Pierre Richardson who is here. You've preached, you've teach, and you are faithfully given to Living Water. Some of you, while you were coming in, they hand you the report for Living Water, and you can read that at home. And we have lots of copies. You can take some to your friends so that they can know what's going on in the ministry. On the foyer there is a sheet where you can put your email if you want to receive our monthly updates about the ministry. And in fact, one former member of here, Brother Ken Kroll, is the one who is helping us doing that through our website. So really, Miami Town Church of Christ is big with Living Water. And I tell you, we appreciate that very much. We do have commitment cards if you want to make a commitment, and I will be available to answer some of your questions at the end. We're going to see a few pictures about the ministry. And I don't know if they go automatically or you help us switch for me. Okay, this is the first piece of property. That's how it was. Well, that's go quick. Yeah. And it is on that piece of property now, we have the one preschool, elementary school, high school, vocational school, university. We have all of that in that piece of property, but we do have other places where we're going to put those ministries differently. Next now. Now that's an old picture of what the church was. This building was everything. It was school, church, office, everything back in 2003. Next. You remember 2004? The big flood. You see the watermark near the roof? Yeah. But God is good. Next. We had to clean. We had lots of dirt to put out. Next. You see the dirt was taller than me. And we had to haul of that in big dump truck. Next. Go ahead. We had to go. During the hurricane, we thought this is destroying our ministry. But after the hurricane, the ministries that we do to the people, like a preacher was talking about, actually grew the church because they saw we care. And we had to move to two services. Next. I love farms. I had to put this. And we have the farm we have in the south side of town. I have not been able to go there in a year because the gangs are right there. So, next, please. The radio station, one of our most fruitful ministries. We serve several hundred thousand people all over the country, and the radio is on the internet. And I tell you, through teaching, preaching, and music, people have been blessed. For 1 month, last month, we have not been able to be in the air because we have all kind of troubles. And people write, call, do all kind of things, basically begging us, do what it takes to bring the station back in the air. And now it's back in the air, and we praise God for that. Next, please. That's the orphanage building. It's an old picture, but the inside is painted. We start registration. We have a few kids now. We're going to start the orphanage at the end of this month. So you can partner with us in that too. Next. That's the health clinic. And that's a picture where a few of the people waiting to see doctor. Next. The school in town where Pierre's son was. And we, as I said, we have from preschool to high school. And thank God, for many years now, over about 10 years, we have been consistently have some of the best results in town. In fact, in the last 3 years, we've been the top. And one thing we don't like, when we are the top, the government don't put the result publicly. But when it's the Catholic churches, schools, they put it. You see? But the people know. Next. That's in Marmalade. That's our second church plant, second school. And we have in that school about 600 kids. And that school, we don't have high school yet because finding teachers after ninth grade is really a headache. And we don't want to do half education. We want it to be good quality. We're still looking for the right solution. Next. That's in Highland. Highland is a voodoo village. If you can see beyond the picture, you can see the house, one of the homes in the community. It's mud and stick and tin. And it's very simple. But again, churches and several organizations here help us to build that school. It's actually right now the biggest school of the mission. And we have from preschool all the way to high school. And this year, for the first time, we sent kids to take the government test to finish the high school. And they were proud when they get their certificate of success. And we thank God for that. Next, please. These are some of the students of the Bible College. They went to a village to evangelize the people. And on that day, there are 21 people gave their lives to Christ. And we were very happy for that harvest in one day. And they continue to do these things like that. And one of them is actually stay there to minister to those people. Next. We feed the kids. Now, not with the price of food, with the difficulties we have to bring the food in, it's very difficult to feed the kids daily, but that's still part of our program to feed one hot meal a day. Now, it's one thing when we have, when you have 500 kids, but it's another thing when we have 2,200 kids. So please, you can join us to do those things too. Next. That's the church in Marmalade, and that's the community. And there, we have all kind of troubles because we have the witchcraft, the witch doctors, and the difficult terrain. But despite of everything, God continues to work wonders in Marmalade. Next. That's the church at White Mountain. Some of you remember. The roof was taken away by a big wind. And here, this church went and put that roof back, and it's still there. And we thank God for that. And they just celebrated the 11th anniversary. It's one of the best growing church we have in the mission. And they have done a wonderful job in their community too. Next, please. That's the first church planted. Now, if you remember back in 2003, we started with a handful. But on a Sunday now, between adults, children, and teenagers, we can have about 1,000 people. Now, the last few months, we've been lower in attendance because people are leaving Haiti, I mean, with big numbers, with all the security issue, the political issue, the poverty issue. People are leaving, trying to find better place to live. Next, please. That's the university on the same property you saw. And those are elementary education students. And, well, they're having fun. They are students. Next. You can see the building. It's a small building. We start here, but we do have 80 acres property for the university to build the buildings. Now, the challenge right now is to fence that property so that we can actually start doing the building to move the university there. But let me tell you, I had that plan to start the university from day one. I didn't want to start it last year, but the Lord impressed to me to start. But do you know that some of those students, that's what gives them a reason to go on for another day? And do you know that they are the ones who are also replacing people who are leaving Haiti by flock? And those students will fill our pulpit for preachers and teachers and also offices, because we do have the School of Administration also as part of the university. Please pray for that ministry, because we can take Haiti for Christ by training the leaders of the country and the workers of the country. It's something that we need to engage in and to do it for the glory of God. Next, please. There are students, those are students of administration. You know, they're having fun. Next, they're in class. They are the Bible college students. Now they are doing group work. And I think this might be the last picture. Is it? Yeah. My friend, those of you who give, you are educating people. You are giving good health to people. You are giving a future to people, and at doing that whole thing, souls are being won to Christ. Now, when kids come, we don't care if you are from voodoo or whatever your background, come. And we don't come to the throat and shove Christ. But every day we have a devotion. One drop at a time till they surrender to Jesus Christ. And the impact is big. Some of those students now are returning. Before Pierre Richardson came, he was one of our teachers. I mean, from grade school to be one of the teachers in high school, that's how it was. The university, the general secretary of the university is one of the former students. The dean for the College of Administration is a former student. So things are working right, and I'm asking you to continue to partner with us so that we can impact Haiti for Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Word. I think now I have 40 minutes, right? We will go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I will read verse 4 through 11. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 11. And I want you to pay attention to a few words that I'm going to draw your attention to. Verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts. Notice, different kinds of gifts. But the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord, same Spirit, same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Now, my friends, the list of the gifts of the spirits of the Spirit are different from one city to the next. If you read the list in Romans, it's different from the list of Corinthians. It's different from the list of Ephesians. But those different kinds of gifts, they are given by God to whomever He wants, however He wants it. We should notice that within the church, the triune God gives different kinds of gifts. Yours is not mine. Mine is not yours. Because He wants us to do the whole work that He wants to be done in a specific community. A church in Chicago will be different from a church in Detroit. A church in Detroit will be different from a church in Miami Town. It's a different culture, different situation. And that's exactly why the God gave different gifts to different churches. And we need to keep in mind, it's God who decides what to give to whom. So if you go to Romans chapter 12, you will see there are seven different gifts: prophecy, service, teaching, encouragement, giving, leadership, mercy. That's in Romans chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 14, when you put the list together, you have about 9 different spiritual gifts. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracle, prophecy, discernment, tongues, interpretation of tongues. And when it comes to Ephesians, we have apostleship, prophecy, evangelism, shepherding, and teaching. Now, in all three lists, prophecy is present. The reason being is the word of God was not yet in written form, and the preachers were totally dependent on God to reveal to them what they need to share to the churches. Today, I can go to the book and read the word of God and to share with you. For 20 centuries now, we do have the word. So what we need is our preachers, evangelists, ministers to share the word, to be God's spokesman in their community. Remember, God gives each and every one of us different gifts for the common good. My gift is good for you. Yours is good for all of us. So I have nothing to brag if I happen to appreciate my gift. You have nothing to brag about if you happen to appreciate your gift. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul said, "Though it was given to you." What we do need to do is to assume our responsibilities as church members. Now, God expects you and I to be involved in local community, in local church, but he also expects us to be involved in the global community. Since we are preparing that ministry fair, this morning I bring you some resolutions. Resolution number one, I have my responsibilities toward the lost. That's what you need to take as your number one resolution. You have your responsibilities toward the lost. Now, your responsibilities are many and time is flying, so I will be quick. Number one, you need to pray for the lost. Whether they are members of your family, friends at work, classmates, people you don't know, it's maybe just, you know, the number of the house. But pray for the lost. Pray so that God may send someone to share Christ with the lost. But that someone may be you. Pray so that you have the boldness to go. Go yourself to the lost. Give so that others may go. Not all of us will be able to go. Some of us, health will prevent us from going. And maybe some of you may say, well, could be age too. I don't know about that, because I've seen people over 100 does amazing things. So it's not age. You can go. But go. But if you cannot go, send someone to go. Now, when you are doing something amazing here, that you are having people welcome them and you have a care team and so forth and so on, when the lost come to Christ, you need to bring them into your circle. Rejoice with them and turn them into disciples of Christ. I have our responsibilities toward the lost. For this specific coming week, you need to pray. What is my responsibilities toward the lost of Miami Town? Well, I don't know the name of the county. You can name the county, the state. You have responsibilities. Resolution number two. I have my responsibilities toward my congregation. Number one, you need to pray for the well-being of your congregation. Remember, Jesus only had 12. Among the 12, there was one defection. With those 11 plus Paul later and Matthias after that, he won the world. So if all of you are here this morning, you are committed Christian and you pray for the well-being of the church will do wonders. Pray. I was happy to know that you are a praying church. A praying church is a victorious church. A praying church is a winning church. So keep being a praying church. Number two, put my God-given gifts at the service of the congregation. It's my responsibility to put my God-given gifts at the service of the congregation. The first thing we need to remember is that your gift was not your choice. It's God's choice. So God expects you to put your gift at the service of the congregation. If you do so, we will have a healthy church. You remember that in Ephesians? He gives some to be apostle, prophet, and evangelist, and pastors and teachers. And he said, to build up, if all of us put our gift at the service of the congregation, we will be a strong body of Christ. Number three, contribute to the unity within my congregation. I should contribute to the unity of my congregation. Some people like to divide. If you are a Christian, your job is to unify. Unity is a must in God's church. And to have unity, you need humility. Many times, division comes because of pride. I am this. I am that. I can do that. I have done that. Well, kill that pride and have humility. Gentleness. Be gentle. You can be strong and powerful and can destroy the whole place in 1 second, but don't do it. Be gentle. Be patient. Be patient. If we have humility and we have gentleness and we are patient with one another, there will be unity within the body of Christ. So my friend, please do your part so that there can be unity in this church. And if there is unity in this church, by this time next year, you will have all the pews filled. If you do your job, I do mine, all of us do ours, the church will grow. Number four, give generously to the congregation. It's my job to give generously to the church so that it can do the job that God has entrusted the leadership to do. It is my job to give generous offering. It's my job to tithe. Most Christians don't tithe. They think 10% is too much for God. But guess what? 10% was not an option. God expects you to give more than 10%. Did you know that? God expects the New Testament church to give more than 10%. But in reality, we don't. So tithes, special donation, provide that so that the church can do the works it needs to do. Encourage my congregation to reach out to our community. We need to, I'm glad to read that, to listen that you are doing that here. Encourage the congregation to be involved in the community. It's my job to do so. It's your job to do so. Remember, there are single parents in our community who are about to go crazy because they can't raise their kids on their own. If we go to them, help them, teach those boys to play baseball and get them tired. Let them learn to kick. Yeah, yell. When they go home, they will be tired. They go to bed. Mom will be happy. So please do something in the community. It's my job to help their grandparents. Actually, there are grandparents who are raising their grandchildren because their parents are not taking care of them. Go to those grandparents, assist them, make life easier for them, and they will be happy. It's my job to show compassion to the LGBTQ community. I am not supposed to tell them it's okay because it's not okay. But we need to show compassion to them. When we show compassion to them and show them what the word says, they will repent, they will give their lives to Christ, we will win them, and heaven will be happy. But if we keep being bossy and being messy, we will not attract them to Christ. Show compassion to our community. It's do the same thing to the drug addict, to the alcoholic. Show compassion to the lost. And when we show compassion, we attract people to Christ. Challenge my congregation to go global. You've been going global, but keep continuing. Encourage that. It's my responsibility to sacrifice hours to do the jobs that needs to be done at the church. Now, sorry if I fly. When you are on your job and your boss said, well, we will need a few more hours from you on Friday, and in fact, we will double your salary, your hours, that Friday. What you do? Stay. Guess what? God pay better. Why not you give a few hours, even 2 hours during the week, to do something that would push that church forward? Either to make the environment more beautiful or to invest your lives in the youth group, to do something. Sacrifice part of your schedule, even to be in the leadership team. You have lots you can give, but if you come and do those sacrifices, the church will be a better place that will attract sinners for Christ and will actually grow double, triple, quadruple for the glory of God. Now, as a church, I want you, I don't know what the preacher has in mind for next week, but that's me. And you don't have to throw rock. Okay. Why not we say something like that? As a church, we are committed to a 50% growth by November 2024. We are committed to a 50% growth. And to make possible such a growth, I, you put your name, commit to, and then you choose one in the 51 he has in the list, but my list doesn't have that many, okay? You can commit to call. Call people who are not here today. I didn't see you today, Lucy. What happened? Lucy will be happy somebody noticed she was not there. And she will be happy to be here next week, and we'll thank you. Send a text. I see some of you maybe texting while you're here. Maybe you can see there is somebody who's not here. You can send a text to that person. I miss you today, whatever. You know, send a text. Do something. Show hospitality. Give encouragement. Show compassion. Share your faith. Pray for the church. Pray for the lost. Pray for the sick. Pray for family in difficulty. Give faithfully my offering to the church. That's one of the commitments you can make. The tithe my income. Give one special gift. I said one, but you can be more than one. Disciple new Christian. Teach a class. Lead a Bible study. Organize one community activity. Why not you do that? You can have a day, bring Kool-Aid. Well, it's winter now, no Kool-Aid. you know what I'm talking, hot chocolate and marshmallow, and bring the kids here and let them run and talk to them, learn their names, and invite them to church. Something will happen. Volunteer to church. Lead a men breakfast. Lead a women breakfast or meeting. I said breakfast because us men, we like to eat. Okay, sorry. It can be something else. Make myself available for leadership. Shovel snow. Woohoo! Go to the community. There may be somebody whose age is does not allow to go out to shovel snow. But help. Now, I will wait for the mowing lawn part. I don't like to shovel snow. But you may, okay? Clean bathrooms in the church, whatever. Vacuum places. Do something so that people, when they come here, they may feel welcome. Folks, God does not have another plan to win the lost. His plan is you, it's me. Folks, it doesn't help to say that I've been a member of this church for 15 years, 20 years, and you have done nothing. You just come, participate in the service, and go home. And it's it. And coming back next Sunday, if there is no other things to do. So, my friend, please, be active in the church. Assume your responsibility so that this place can grow to the glory of God. God bless you.